Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Golub.
And we're your Soul Sisters. And our third Soul Sister today is Catherine McPhee.
Woo!
So this is an exciting episode because I'm a huge Smash fan, which anyone who goes a little bit further back in this podcast knows from when Megan Hilty was on the show.
Yeah.
That was the big deal in the world to me then.
I should have caught on then. And now this is the big deal. That was my mistake.
That was your moment to start watching Smash.
That was. I wonder if it's on. It's got to be on some streaming thing.
I'm sure.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, you were not fully prepared for this conversation.
I know. Neither time. Man, no, who else? Is there anyone else that might come on? I better get on it.
Deborah Messing.
Okay.
And Megan Mullally.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, great reasons to watch Smash.
Right?
As if I needed one.
Start watching it, and that will give me motivation to book those two women.
Okay.
Because I want to anyway, but that will give me extra motivation.
Oh, my God. Deborah Messing and Megan Mullally were both on it?
Yes.
That's
Wait.
So funny.
Am I making up that Megan Mullally was on
I
it?
I don't feel like she was.
Did I just do a random word association? She wasn't
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I don't think she was on it. What's her name? Angelica
this
Houston, right?
When I start recording too early in the morning.
That would have been great, though, because she is a song and dance woman. So she should have been on
it. What just happened. I'm a little jet lagged because I just got back from a West Coast trip and I just watched Will and Grace last night. And so I just did a free association. Deborah Messing and Megan Mullally from a show that is definitely not Smash. Yes,
I will pretend I'm not jealous and frustrated that I wasn't there.
For what?
For the trip, for the LA trip.
Oh, for Billboard's Women in Music?
Yeah,
it was great. But don't get me off topic.
Okay.
If I promise to book Angelica Houston on this podcast, then will you watch Smash?
I will watch it regardless. Okay. I think it's overdue time for that.
The show is tailor-made for you. So honestly, just get on the boat.
You know, I didn't watch Glee and I didn't watch Smash.
Yeah,
and it makes no sense for my life.
Nerd.
Right.
Makes no sense. And a musical nerd.
I did watch a little bit of that a cappella show when they had like the a cappella competition show.
Okay.
Well, not the same.
That makes sense. That was the most on-brand for you.
I just saw a billboard for the Pitch Perfect 3.
Yeah.
I guess it's 3 or maybe it's 4. I don't know. The farewell tour.
Are you excited?
You know, it's the same thing. Like, I'm not. Somehow the way that it's packaged or scripted or something about these things, like, doesn't draw me.
Why are you going on the record as not excited for Pitch Perfect 3?
But I will absolutely watch it and I will laugh.
Okay.
But I'm not, like, one of the heads.
Yeah.
Even though my acapella group, when we get together, my bunch of girls, there's 5 of us, we get together and we watch them when they come out. We're nerdy.
So I guess the point is you're into real life acapella. You don't like the fictional version of it.
Somehow it doesn't translate for me.
Yeah. You were an American Idol fan, to circle back to Catherine McPhee.
I was definitely an American Idol fan. Were you?
Yes. Only really for her season.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was one of the, I think I was consistently up to, I want to say, her season almost.
And she was very modest about that being a coincidence, but I think she was part of it. I remember really rooting for her and actually texting my votes for her.
Really?
Yeah.
I never interacted.
I used to be embarrassed about having been that into the show, but I was very excited to tell her that. You never thought about auditioning, did you?
Oh, goodness, no. No, no, no. And people would say that to me all the time because I am a singer and I, you know, wanted to do something with music. And people would say all the time, why don't you audition?
Yeah.
And it couldn't be more of a ridiculous statement to me. And
God, I wish we could roll in some audition tape of you on Idol right now.
Oh,
nothing would make me happier. That would be so amazing.
I wonder if there's other shows, like I don't watch The Voice or the other ones that are around, but I wonder if there is more room. Like, it felt like American Idol, at least at that time, you had to have like such an enormous belting, like show-stopping pop sensibility. Uh-huh. And
to make it far, you mean?
To make it far at all. Yeah. To make it even past anything. You don't think you do now? I don't know. I think I have a...
I guess they go for different styles.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Or they're just the entire process of like the confidence of putting yourself out there in that way, in such a big, big way. It was just like, it was hilarious when people would say that to me. But it was,
so you don't have that confidence?
No.
Nope.
I don't.
Yeah, I won't argue that point with you.
But
what song would you sing if you were to audition?
See, that's the thing. I would have sung an American songbook.
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, God Bless a Child is great. But I think people did that kind of stuff.
I thought you were going to say, like, don't Broadway Baby. Parade.
Yeah, no. I used to sing, like, Ain't Misbehaving a lot and Broadway cute. Baby and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think those are great Idol songs.
Right, so. No. Just my overall style.
Yeah. No, you're best suited for the Catskills, but your age is over.
I'll take that. And especially after this last birthday, I will definitely take that Catskills.
Yeah, we're ready to send you upstate for good.
Send me up down the river.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go together.
We will. I know. I'm a few months older than you. That's why I could make those jokes.
We're the same.
We're the same. Same.
Babies.
Uh-huh. Happy friend anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, our 2 years.
Mm-hmm. How they fly by.
I know.
Anyway, okay. Guys, you want to listen to Catherine McPhee. We want you to listen to
That's
it.
What you're here for.
Because it's great. She also has a new album out. It's beautiful. Buy it for your friends. Buy it for your family. I guess I'm her publicist now, but I really like the album. Bye, bye, bye. No, but this was fun, and I'm really excited she came on. So here you go, Catherine McPhee on Soul Sisters. Here we are.
Here we are.
Catherine McPhee on Soul Sisters. Hi.
Hi. Are you guys the Soul Sisters?
Yes, we are. And, you are supposed to be the Soul Sister.
To you.
The
all of us.
All the viewers and listeners.
Yeah. Right. It's a triangle. Room, actually.
Soul. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Including those behind the camera.
I like it.
And behind the recorder. I'm very excited that you're here. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
Huge fan.
We're both huge fans.
Yes. Yes. And Dara is too. I go further back.
Go further back.
Well,
you go. She's a Smash fan. I, despite being a huge musical theater nerd, somehow it didn't. It just didn't penetrate. I missed it.
Oh, okay. You missed it.
I missed it. But
Mishmash.
Is it on a streaming thing?
I'm
now?
Sure you can watch it.
Okay, because it'll happen sometime. I'll come back around. But I was an American Idol fan, so I don't know if you were as well.
So I was. So that was the only season I ever watched fanatically.
Good season.
Well, it was
like
the
to the point where I was texting my vote.
Is that true?
Season 5 was the biggest Idol season
ever.
There
you go.
I know. I feel kind of special.
That's pretty cool.
That is special.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to do with it, but it was just like
I don't know if that's true.
I think 5 seasons, like, it was just that, I don't know, that time it was...
Yeah.
It just really kind of, anyway.
I mean, for me, I think it was my first year out of college, and I like made it a routine with another friend of mine who had just moved to New York, where we would like get together that night to watch it together.
It.
Yeah. But it was also you. It definitely was you for me.
Absolutely.
Because I was rooting for you, and then I was like so invested in you winning.
It was just like it was just a perfect.
It was a good group of people.
They had like a nice cast, right? They had like the rocker and the like the silver haired
I don't remember, but I had to look it up, but I couldn't believe who
Taylor Hicks.
Yeah,
I know.
And like Kelly Pickler was the country bumpkin. It was like the perfect
little. That was her season 2.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We had a pretty great season.
That's
entertaining.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something that you said on the season, and I wonder if you live by these words. You said this
oh, gosh.
At the time because
from
it seemed
what, 12 years
it was,
ago.
It was wonderful advice. I think it's the best advice and also might be the hardest to sort of keep as an artist or as anybody. But you said the less pressure you put on yourself, the greater the shot.
Oh, that sounds really like,
which I think is like a really thoughtful, great piece of advice.
I'm wondering if that's true.
I think that that's true. I do. I mean, I also think now, like the perspective that I have is work as much as you. If you want to be in entertainment, like if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a singer, this is just start trying to work as much as you possibly can, because the experience is really what primes you for the experiences that you really want to be ready for. And like with Idol, you know, I thought of it as a TV show because I knew that producers were looking for cast of characters. And so I looked at it as like, I'll create a little bit of a story, you know, and my mom was the voice coach and I was like always taking voice lessons, which was just completely not true.
Really?
No, I was kind of like a lazy singer. I just, was naturally like a talented singer, but it wasn't something that I could have worked much harder at it. And I worked hard in the last 10, 12 years post Idol, but leading up to it, I mean, I really wish that I had pushed myself. I was kind of shy in that regard, pushed myself to get out there and perform in front of audiences, because that's where you learn. That's right. Where you hone your craft. It's the same with, you know, people going to school for acting. Like, I don't know if, I just don't know, like, if you really think you're gifted at acting, I wouldn't necessarily say like the best thing for you to do is to go to school and study acting. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I just think that when you're in the field, like going to auditions and messing up, and that's where you learn.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
So where were you when you discovered the range and possibility and power of your voice? Because that doesn't happen
when
at home.
Sing it. Oh no, it does. I mean, yeah, when you're listening to Celine Dion and trying to sing the notes that she sings, that's
and
definitely...
you belt it out that much. Oh, you're just like, I can do it.
I really have learned also that I can't really do that well.
Like, belting?
Not really. Like, I mean, I can, but it's not necessarily what I'm good at. I mean, I just put out this jazz record called I Fall in Love Too Easily, and it's...
We would have gotten there. Don't worry.
No, I know. That was just a natural segue. Uh-huh. But it's like a romantic love song. I mean, it's super smoky and jazzy and sexy and romantic. And I mean, when I sing live, yeah, sure, I have these songs that have little moments where they swell. And
yeah, but you had to belt on Smash.
I did, but
and
it didn't.
You did it.
It doesn't come
okay.
Naturally, right. I mean, I'm not like Ethel Merman, you know, where it's like I've just. Cause I remember the first time I tried to sing "Don't Rain on My Parade," you know,
yeah.
"Don't tell me not to fly." I simply, and I was like, "Wow, this was a really hard song." I didn't realize how difficult it is.
Yeah,
nobody, no, nobody. Is anyway.
Yeah,
if you're not a Broadway geek, you won't know that song. But
how much did going toe to toe with Megan Hilty on Smash like push you to that though? Because I feel like that is her
She's
natural
a big,
setting.
Big, big voice. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's just what I had. I mean, I knew it was about Broadway, and Broadway, yeah. Sometimes you have to sing these big,
yeah.
big songs. And I love it. Like, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love it. It's just, as far as me as an artist making a record, it's not like I wouldn't make a big band Broadway right. record. Like, it's got to be more swingy and more nuancey. Mm-hmm. But
with a modern feel. There's like a jazzy feel, but also still a modern
Yeah. That's
it.
Really important to me. Well, it's important to anybody to be authentic to who you are. Because my influences were like Whitney and Celine and Mariah and, God, who else? Like Alanis Morissette and Sarah McLachlan. And I mean, like these really soul torchy singers.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was a cabaret singer. So like she was a voice teacher by day and cabaret singer at night. So she sang all these old standards, these like jazzy standards. She didn't sing it jazzy, but I just sort of developed this like, this way of singing this kind of older music in a more contemporary way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah. Does your mom still performs, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah.
I think I saw you like tweeting out about her show or
gotta
something.
Support the mom.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, she goes around and does some shows. And, yeah. Yeah. She teaches like crazy. She's always busy.
Yeah. When you got to a point where you're on TV for Idol, did they say, we need a story for you? Like, what's your story? Or did you know going in, I need to create something?
No, like, I just remember, like, I knew I was going through all the rounds. They were, like, taking me to the next round. And then they got a call saying they want to do a hometown package with you, is what they called it, a mm-hmm. hometown package. And I knew it. They wanted to come to the house with the producers and do, like, behind the scenes. It's, like, the sort of reality part of the show.
Right.
So I was, like... You know, my mom, I remember my mom and I talking about it and, you know, planning, okay, well, they'll have us in the voice, like in her voice studio.
You're my student.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and we like, I remember doing like the mother daughter, like frustrated thing where I'm like, oh, mom, yeah.
Was Was there truth to that though?
Not really. I mean, yeah, sure, but I didn't take voice lessons from my
really,
mom.
At all.
Really? No, I would like every once in a while. But again, it's like one of those things where if you have,
natural.
What's another I'm just saying, like, what's another example of someone of a parent who like a parent who's a movie producer, the kid doesn't necessarily want to be on movie sets every day, you
sure.
know, it's
just it can be the opposite.
Yeah, I probably could come up with a better
no that
comparison,
makes sense.
But
yeah, so, yeah, I mean, well, any profession, like if your parent's a doctor, probably not dying to like,
and then you'd normally be in the ER becoming a doctor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly, it gets ingrained in you,
right?
Yeah.
So for this record, was it
a natural progression, because your previous records have been more sort of straight ahead pop, sort of more traditional pop. And was there like pushback on your decision to go more old worldy kind of
on my part? American songbook? There was never like
not I mean, on your part.
No, there was no pushback. What happened was I'm on a show on CBS called Scorpion. We're in our fourth season. A lot of people like still don't know. You know, it's like there's so much TV out there.
So too much.
They'll be like, what show are you on? I'm like, oh, it's on its fourth season. They're like, what?
Yeah, it's still on. Yeah.
But no, I did a CBS had a Grammy special for Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday about 2 years ago. And I got asked to present at it. And I was like, you know, thank you, but no thank you. It's like right after Thanksgiving holiday season, and for me to try and see if I can get off work from shooting, it just would be a lot of effort for me to be up there for 30 seconds to introduce another artist, you know, to say like this next artist is,
right.
You know, for 30 seconds, it just wasn't worth my, but I was like, but I'll sing if you need me, like wink, wink. And it was to the booker, like my manager passed it around. And I knew like there's no way, because they had everyone from like Lady Gaga to Tony Bennett to Celine Dion to John Legend singing at this Grammy special. You know, it was like A-listers.
Well, you don't put yourself. I mean, it's hard to say.
No.
Probably, but I would put you.
Well, that's nice. But no, I don't. I mean, like, no. I mean, okay. I have like one thing about me is I've always had a real strong sense of reality. And it doesn't mean that I don't.
Humility.
Yeah. I mean, it's also not that I like don't believe in myself think that like it could be possible. I just know what it is. So, but anyway, so I just kindly said like, you know, but if you need someone to sing a song, because like I know all those songs so well, and they said, you know, it's a no for now, and I wasn't like, what? I was like, okay, well, I'm busy, I'm working, and then on Sunday after Thanksgiving, I got this like urgent email saying they didn't say someone fell out, but I figured someone did. Mm-hmm. And they needed someone to sing in this medley, this opening number medley with me and John Legend and Adam Levine and Harry Connick Jr. And they said, it's in the key of A. You make me feel so young. And I was like, yes. Hold on. Let me look at my shooting schedule. I happened to be off that day. And I said, yes. And then I was in Las Vegas, like before I knew it, rehearsing. And I met Don Was backstage, who's a really prolific music producer.
Yeah.
He's, you know, accomplished a lot in his life. And he was helping me learn. They actually threw me in on another song with John Legend. I think that's like when the idol stuff or experiences, years of just kind of having to show up and sing and do shows, whether there's 10 people there or 1,000 people there.
Or a million people watching. Right.
Yeah, it's like you're ready for the occasion. And I just really showed up for the occasion. And Don was like, I want to make a record with you with this music. And I was like, yeah, I mean... That's I should have been doing this.
I mean, a producer like that, you probably say yes to whatever direction he wants to take it in, right?
So, yeah, it was kind of like I think I've been wanting that or needing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of kept thinking, oh, I'll make a pop record. Because that's the music I do love, but it just never, I always felt like it just never really, each record I put out, I was like, yeah, I like it. There's things I like about it, but I was never like 100% solid behind it, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And this is like really kind of where I know I'm going to kind of live and breathe. And
yeah. And your Smash good fans stuff. Are going to really appreciate it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we were having a debate earlier about your description of this album as one to make out to, because I totally feel that and would love to make out with someone to this album. Dara is a little on the fence about that. So it's like, it's an interesting thing.
It's the lyrical thematic stuff that I just question. And I haven't, you know,
like,
like
she thinks it's a little dark to make out to.
A little sad, a little bit of melancholy, a little sad. Who can I turn to is a sort of sadder.
Yeah, that is a sadder song.
My mom, Blame It on My Youth, is kind of makes me sad.
Oh, it does.
I mean, it's beautiful, but it's just like
to me it's so like naive and heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, because especially
Night and
with
Day?
This music, Night and Day, come on.
But, you know, it's true. Like some of them do have like a sort of, but that's why, and maybe that's just my thing that I do with this kind of music. This music makes me feel so nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some sort of like yearning,
heartbreaking.
Even if it's the lyric is, like even Smile, for instance, I didn't put that on the record, but everyone loves to sing Smile.
Mm-hmm.
Smile though your heart is aching. Smile, it's the melody that it sounds like it's sad.
It is,
you know?
Sad.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are clouds in the sky, I'll get by. It's just the melody's kind of but that's the, like, I think I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I think I like
Wait, this reminds me, don't
love that got away.
I love that stuff.
No, I know. No, I just think it's interesting.
Don't get it twisted, girl.
It doesn't put me
like,
in a
what
sexy,
can you make out to? Right. Wait, so I thought of a weird question I wanted to ask you.
You can
guys
make out
today.
To Michael Bublé. It's like, no.
Yeah, well, sure. Whatever floats
I've
your boat.
I thought about, like, what is a makeout record?
No, I know.
I don't know. It's
Wait, but I have a question for you guys. So I was thinking about, like, when you guys sing That's Life and Smash, it's like one of my favorite numbers from that show.
It's pretty great.
That one is so fucking good.
Even I thought it was
If you want to see like two just like crazy powerhouse talents go toe to toe and like on the show, it's about their competition and also like getting over it and coming together and just like watching the two of you sing just the life out of that song is insane. But so I was rewatching it on YouTube and there's a key change in that song.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking this morning, like that key change, like turns me on. Like there is something
totally
about like an amazing key change that like gives you goosebumps and like gives you butterfly. It's like that feeling.
That's the power. That's the power of music.
Which
that's
is
just that like.
So you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's like a crazy thought.
That's what I'm saying. Like this music, it does so many things to me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because I do like sort of think about these kinds of songs as story in a more of a storytelling way than maybe other pop songs.
Oh, well, they totally are storytelling.
Right. Yeah. And so I sort of pay attention more than I would to like other records.
Yeah. So you almost want like to not be thinking about something when your mind making up.
Yeah. And I wonder if for you coming from a background that's not necessarily like singer songwriter, you're not, you know, you didn't start as a songwriter.
No.
If that sort of has freed you in your career from people trying to like put the autobiographical stuff and wonder like, oh, is this from her life?
Yeah, that's why I think, well, this record is sort of autobiographical if it can be, just because it's like, it's songs that my mom sang a lot that are like her students would sing. So there are ones that there's like a handful of other songs that I'm super familiar with too that could I could make another record similar to this just with different songs. But I mean, obviously I didn't write them, but there is an element to them being sort of autobiographical just because they remind me of like of things in my childhood or you know, I picked I Fall in Love Too Easily as the title track because it's like in the last 2 years of my life, like it's really true, like I've dated people and it's like my friends have made so much fun of me because after 2 weeks I've been like, I think we're gonna get married, and then like a week later I'm like, oh no, he's crazy, like literally, you know.
Wait, that's
I've had
unusual
this whole...
for someone who's been through a divorce, right? Like
unusual,
isn't it?
Yeah,
to fall in love too easily.
Here's the thing: is that
to not have so much armor up, like that you can. Still...
Well, that's what you think, right? Because like I've also on the flip side been like, I'm never getting married again,
right?
But I dated somebody for, he was the lead on my show, and like we had a total world. I mean, you know, we were like totally in love and I, you know, still really close with him and stuff. But when we broke up is what I'm saying. So I've had like a good 5 years now since I've been actually married. But now I'm like getting more open. But in the last, I'd say the last 2 years, I've been more open to the idea of marriage. Like when I meet like a nice guy, I think just because he's nice that I should marry, like he's, and it's not, that's not the case. There has to be so many things that work, you know?
But that's so nice to be that open to it.
I guess,
like, that's
a
great
thing.
Well,
that's why I wrote, fall in love too easily. I mean.
Unless you're getting hurt all the time because of it.
No, I'm not hurting myself too much.
Okay.
I may have hurt a couple people.
Yeah, okay, but you're fine.
But, you know, I'm only being honest. I'm always just being really honest.
Yeah.
But I think that's also part of the beauty of these songs is, like, you don't need to write "I fall in love too easily." It's been written and it's perfect and it's impeccable, and you can sing that.
I can.
To convey that, you know?
And it's everyone's different take on it, you
right.
know?
Yeah. How did you pick "Sooner or Later"?
So my sister, that's why, again, like every song that I picked, my sister, I never even remember seeing Dick Tracy, the movie, but I remember Madonna singing that song. Yep. I think it was like the end of the movie title track or whatever.
Because she plays, what's her character's name? Breathless Mahoney.
Oh, I mean,
is that
I don't know.
My sister is like 2 years older than me, so I remember her being obsessed with that movie and that song.
Yeah.
And it became, you know, Stephen Sondheim wrote that song, so it was like,
which I
classic.
Didn't know until I just looked it up before you came on.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because that song's amazing.
Because it's like so interesting. And you know, Dawn and I, we never had any, I mean, there was no arguments. But the only thing I was like, really? Okay, well, I'm not sure. Because I had this whole thing about singing music. Like, it's nice to do a really cool, sultry, soft, romantic record. But how does that translate to live? You know, like, how do you have something that people, because I always have this thing like less is more, and I always feel like people get bored and whatever, that's my own insecurities or but again, I think less is more, and so to be up there for 80 minutes opposed to 60 minutes is way better choice. So I was always thinking like, well, how does this translate live? And he was like, you need to not worry about that, because you can change these songs however you want to do them live,
different arrangements.
He says, but when people put a record on, you got to set a mood for them. It can't just be all over the place. So our only little, and I don't want to say disagreement, it's not the word, it's just discussion, was we're not going to do like any big, like, you know, you're not doing a show tunes record, and you're not doing like a big band record. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. And so, but that I still brought in all these song choices. And I said, you may not like this song because it could be this like Broadway-esque kind of number.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, let's listen to it. And he's like, I don't like, I don't know which version I played him. I don't think he liked Madonna's version, but he's like, I kind of like the song. So we just got in the studio and we started playing around with the great jazz players and came up with this sort of fun. And by the way, it's great live because I can kind of, it can go a little bigger live.
Uh-huh, totally. Yeah, I mean, in the movie, I think Madonna is doing a little bit of a caricature of a lounge singer.
So it's almost
it's
like
very breathy. And
it's like almost like Marilyn Monroe-esque.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You can revisit that movie. That's a fun one.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Wait, did I just make that? Oh, I was just thinking, right before you said Marilyn Monroe, I was thinking
Roger Rabbit.
He was in Dick Tracy, wasn't he?
Roger Rabbit?
Wasn't he a character in
that? Now I'm so lost. We're talking about Dick Tracy and Madonna.
Yes.
I think Roger Rabbit was in...
I just confused everybody. You were about to say Marilyn Monroe, but I thought you were about to say Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, no, I said...
Which is why I went to Roger Rabbit.
Oh, okay. I said Marilyn Monroe.
You said Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
We have it on video. We know we did.
Yeah. No filter here. Anyway, yes, but you're able to, like breathe more life into it and more voice into it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, you are about to perform these live at the Carlisle.
I am.
And did you sell out your dates?
I did. I mean, I'm like, I did.
Yeah. What?
So
no,
it's like,
this is amazing.
She's saying it because we want to go.
People are like, promote Kyla. I'm like, why would I promote it?
Yeah, you can't get in. Yeah. No, but I want to mention it just because we have a lot of Carlisle performers on this show and there's always this conversation that we have also with like our friends at the Carlisle that it's tricky to figure out how to fill that room these days.
Really?
To find, unless you get like these older performers who've been around forever or kind of fixtures of the room.
I'm impressed that, I mean, I don't know 80 people in New York. So there's a part of me that goes, well, it's a tiny room. Like that'd be embarrassing if I couldn't sell it out. But at the same time.
No, but it happens. You know, sometimes
we're doing five shows. So
No, I think you're probably the right mixture of like, you're young, people are still excited about you, but like the stuff that you're singing
is also
appealing to the people who are like staying at the Carlisle and you know, it's kind of like checking off all the boxes. Like you're kind of that ideal talent for them to book in that room. Like,
You know,
yeah.
So I'm banking on it.
Exactly.
Start a whole new career. A residency at the Carlisle.
Yeah. No, but that'll be a great room for you to sing these in because it's so small.
Yeah.
You can be as intimate with these songs as you want.
No, I know. Yeah. It's like the cutest little room.
Yeah.
When you're in the cycle of shooting your show, Scorpion, how much do you get to sing? And like, when, how, when does the missing singing and performing in that way like trickle in?
I miss it. I mean, I miss it a lot. But I mean, thankfully, because I've been working on this record for the last since I met Dawn, mm-hmm. It took much longer than it probably should have. But I mean, I get to sing at work, like in between takes and in my
really.
Yeah, I mean.
Just for fun.
Like, I mean, I don't even necessarily, I'm not doing it for anybody.
Yeah.
It's just that unfortunately they have to listen to it. I mean, uh-huh. I'm pretty silly on set. So it's like we all kind of chime in together. But as far as I'm not missing it so much right now because I'm getting to do it.
Right.
Like I'm doing, I did this whole week coming up in New York and I do shows in LA. And
mm-hmm. Like, what's the biggest gap for you that you've like haven't performed music? That you're
it's
like
probably
oh my God.
6 months or something,
oh, that's
you know,
long.
Like
yeah.
where I don't have like a corporate gig or something mm-hmm. like that. Even a corporate gig is like fun to do.
Sure,
you know? I mean you get paid right. nicely, but it's just the performing aspect of it. It's so fun.
Yeah,
you know, and just getting to kind of flex your muscles and be right. in a different city. And I love to see cities that way. Like I'm doing a PBS special over the New Year's Eve break in Hungary.
Whoa.
For some like famous violin player. I'm singing like two songs and
you're gonna be in Hungary and that's
yeah.
amazing.
It's a great right. way to see a city.
Yeah. What's the next like musical muscle you'd like to flex that you haven't gotten to yet?
You know, I really want to stay in this wheelhouse. So
yeah.
I'm just really hoping that you know, this record has some legs for the mm-hmm. next year where I can just, I was doing, when I came off Smash, because there was so much music element to it, mm-hmm. I was really doing a lot of symphony shows where I was kind of combining my like pop music with the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was fine. It was a great way to stretch my muscles as a performer. But I really want to sing this music with a big symphony, big orchestra.
That'd be amazing.
So to start doing more symphony shows, because you know all you have to bring is like your three piece band, your piano, your bass, your drums,
mm-hmm.
And then you have this glorious symphony behind you. I mean, the New Orleans Jazz Festival, I really like to be. I mean, the more I can just keep performing, and then I guess you know we'll see how this goes, but then I'll get back in the studio. I mean, like literally, I already started making lists of songs that could be on a new record. I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Cool.
So
amazing.
So the album's out. It
yeah.
just came out last week.
Just came out. It's number one on iTunes in the jazz charts.
Hey, not too
shabby.
I know.
No, that's great. And this episode will post in a few weeks, but I just want to say like this is an album that you should gift to everybody.
Absolutely.
That you know.
And I want to be
good timing for this
like,
album.
It's gorgeous.
Thanks. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dara's not making out to it, but she's using
Maybe
it.
Maybe I will
as
now.
The heart of her life.
You know,
now I will. Now
there's a reason why there's
wrong.
31 flavors. But no, but I don't disagree with you. Like there's definitely a melancholy.
Sure. Right. But that doesn't take away from the power and beauty, and
yeah.
it's just gorgeous.
Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's called "I Fall in Love Too Easily," as she does. Which she just admitted.
Try not to.
That's good.
But I've been a single girl. It's been great.
No.
So I fall in love too easily, but I've managed to.
You always land on your feet.
Yeah,
there you go. And you're going to perform live in our office now.
Yeah,
so
I am.
That's exciting. So we will get to see you.
Yes.
Carlisle be damned. See it here, Billboard.
We'll also go to the Carlisle.
Yeah, we'll sneak in. Yeah. We'll find a way. They
come
can't
Saturday
keep us
night
out.
At the Extra, the late night show.
Awesome.
Boom.
It might be soon.
Okay. Catherine McPhee, thank you.
Thanks for your time.
In the past, but still I fall in love. So easily, I fall in love too fast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.